Alrighty, got it on KHUM. Anytime you've been to Ferndale, I'm sure you've wandered your way into the blacksmith shop, because it's always really cool. And with me here is the owner of the blacksmith shop, and that is Joe Coaches. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I've known you for some time, and that shop has been around even longer than KHUM. It's coming up on 40 years, right?
Coming up on 40 years very soon.
Wow, that is
unbelievable.
Amazing. So how did you become a blacksmith, first of all?
Gosh, I just didn't like what I was doing. And if it wasn't fun, I stopped doing it.
That's good.
Jack Mays bought a forge, and I went out and saw him, and we picked up hammers and started making mistakes, and I never stopped.
Wow. Well, fantastic. So now you are part of the California Blacksmithers Association, Blacksmithing Association.
Yes.
And you got the big annual conference, the spring conference coming up, calling it the Old Guys Conference.
Yes, it's the Old Guys Conference in the sense that what we're attempting to do, a lot of us are getting up there in age. I'm 78, and most of my contemporaries are in their 70s and 80s. So we basically are trying to pass on the knowledge that we've gained over the years onto the younger smiths. We've made a lot of mistakes. If we can prevent them from making the same mistakes, then it's very worthwhile. So that's basically what this conference is about as far as the professional end goes. The other end of it is an educational process. The California Blacksmithing Association is devoted to educating new blacksmiths. This will be a three-tent event out here where we have the finest teachers in the whole country coming here. We have six of them coming here to teach blacksmithing.
Wow.
And then for the first time that we've ever tried this or ever done this, we're allowing the public in on Saturday the 30th. And they'll be able to come on to the grounds. You can't bring your dog, but you can come on from 10 to 3.
Dogs don't make good blacksmiths anyway.
You can come 10 to 3, and you'll be allowed to see what's going on. We'll have the art gallery open, and we'll have docents to tell you, to show you what's happening and tell you what's going on. So there'll be 350 professional blacksmiths there. So there's always something to see.
It's really fantastic. Now, we were talking a little bit off air. You know, blacksmithing has now become, kind of a specialty thing. But back in the day, it was everything. It was the Les Schwab of, because they had to put the shoes on the horses,
exactly.
The wheels on the carriage. There was everything.
Now, here in the Eel River Valley in 1899, there were 29 blacksmiths.
Wow.
29. That's just on this side of the river.
That's insane.
But they were kind of the car dealers of the time.
Yeah.
You didn't have cars. You didn't have roads. So you had to have tires on your horse. So we had farriers. You had to have wheels on your wagon. So we had wheelwrights. We had blacksmiths making all of the accoutrements that needed to go on a wagon. They built wagons. So they were really the hub of transportation.
Yeah.
Was basically the blacksmith.
Yeah.
And over the years, of course, even Henry Ford was a blacksmith, and he started out the Model T. That's
wow.
How he got going. And blacksmiths kind of eventually put themselves out of work because we kept modernizing, and, of course, the Industrial Revolution came along, and we figured out machines that could swing hammers rather than our arms. And so it became the whole industrial thing. The whole industrial movement. Blacksmithing has really never gone away, though. Now we have blacksmithing in the aerospace industry and in the power industry, electricity and so forth. They do these huge forgings, great big rings for the rockets and so on and so forth that connect the rockets together.
Wow.
So blacksmithing is still a relevant trade, but it's gone way into the really big production and big parts that they make.
So when we teach the younger blacksmiths about this craft, what are they looking at? They're looking at making just handy things around the house, or I mean the kind of things that you sell at the blacksmith shop, or what?
I think that what most people go into it for is to learn a new media, mm-hmm. how to manipulate iron. Anything that you can do with your two fingers and clay, I can do with a fire and a hammer in steel. So if you learn to be a blacksmith and you need a hook for your door, you can make it yourself. You don't have to go to the hardware store.
Right.
So basically, most guys that take up blacksmithing, it's more of a hobby or something to do, and it's an exploration into another craft. A lot of them, though, will go into the professional side of it, and that usually is just out of desire, just to do a public railing or to do a, you know, to do some job for someone, make a table base that's absolutely beautiful. So that's a lot of, maybe 10% of them go on to be professionals, and that's what we want. We want more professionals out there. We want more people to just understand blacksmithing.
Absolutely.
It's horrible what history has done to blacksmithing, because all you can think about, all you're taught in school, is that this guy stood under a tree and he shoot a horse and patted a little girl on the head. He was a nice guy. That's what they teach blacksmiths.
Made a clang-clang sound.
Right. That's exactly.
Right. Yeah, well, we've got a few wonderful, beautiful blacksmithed things at our house. We've got something that Robert and Chris gave us years ago. It's a fireplace set. I think it was made by the Salamander Forge,
right?
Years ago, and it's still one of those things that people come over the house. They go, "Wow, that's interesting."
It's timeless.
Yeah,
the craft is timeless.
It's timeless.
It has always been.
And in our kitchen, we have we hang all our pots and pans on a thing. It came with the house when we bought it. It was like, that was one of those like selling points. Look at that! We get that too? Okay, we'll buy it.
It's like on Channel 4, they show all these homes and they always show the kitchen. Uh-huh. Every once in a while, like, hey, there's one of our pot racks.
There you go. I made that. Fantastic. But it is kind of a lost art. And and it's very cool that you're doing this thing, teaching the younger generation what it's all about.
Yeah. You know, I think you said something that everybody seems to think, and that is that the blacksmithing is a lost art. It really is not. And when you look at the whole world, I know blacksmiths in Russia and Czech Republic and Italy and France and everywhere else, blacksmiths are highly revered. We've always been called the king of crafts, because if the leather worker wants to be a leather worker, he has to come to the blacksmith to have his tools made. Mm-hmm. And so all of the crafts have to come to us, to the blacksmith. And originally, that's how it went. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with this, but
well, you're basically saying it is, of course, still relevant.
What's really dead right now is anyone who will buy something handmade, whether it's blacksmithing, pottery, or whatever you want to talk about. There's a whole new buying public that's being trained that they need to go to a big box store to get what they want. And indeed, if they're going to buy something from an independent store with Pawn Stars and all this other stuff that we have going on television, the first thing out of most people's mouth is, oh, you want $10 for that? Gee, would you take $8?
Right.
And so there's this mentality now that you can always get the price down. When you buy something that's handmade, you're talking about buying a piece of someone's life. This is not just an object. It's someone has put their love into it, they've put their time into it, and they've put their name on it. And they maybe throw four pieces away before they put their name on the one. So what you're buying really is a part of someone's life.
Yeah.
And when they put that into the piece, that's called the aura. The piece will be there. That energy stays there forever. That's why people are attracted to antiques, in my opinion.
Well, there seems to be a growing appreciation and desire for more handcrafted things of quality at this point. I mean, you're right. There is, of course, the big box thing, and that is true. And a good chunk of the public is attracted to that, and these big box stores will do their thing. Mm-hmm. But there is also, I think, a growing amount of the population that really appreciates, handcrafted things that have value.
Exactly right. You're exactly right.
And the thing is, you're talking about something that's like you're looking at a coat rack, and yeah, you can buy a coat rack at big box store for $8 or whatever, or you can buy one that's been handcrafted for maybe $150. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, well, here's the thing: you're going to have that coat rack for most of your life. What's the difference? I mean, is the $8 versus the $150. You'll appreciate the $150 one a lot more. Every time you look at it, it'll bring you joy. It's not going to bring you joy looking at a plastic piece of crap you bought for $8.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So
we've found, or I've found anyway, that in this market today, we have to have the top quality.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we've ever sold, is we strive to have the best of everything that's in the store. And the blacksmithing, of course, now has just gone through the roof. We've got some pieces that are just marvelous. They've been, in 2.5 years in the making, stuff like that. So we're really going into the very high end. And the shop still has a lot of artistic stuff in it on the low end, and the gallery is going way high.
Absolutely. Well, if anyone has ever, been in the blacksmith shop, and I think just about everyone has who lives here in Humboldt County, and saw that stuff and go, wow, I'd love to learn how to do that. This is the chance. This is when you can do it.
It's a lifetime.
This is it. So anyway, this annual spring conference, the Old Guys Conference, is coming up on the 28th through the 30th. It's the Humboldt County Fairgrounds right here in Ferndale.
Right.
And how do people get involved in this?
The best way to do it, if you want to really get involved and learn, you would have to just go to CBA Old Guys, and that will take you to the website, and there's registration and explanation of what's going on and all that kind of thing.
At CBA so it's, Old Guys.
Yep, easy to remember.
CBAOldGuys.com?
Right.
Okay, got it. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. And then you can get registered and be part of this thing.
Exactly.
When is the public thing, when people just want to stop by and see it?
For people who just want to come and see what the heck we do, on the 30th, which is a Saturday, from 10 until 3, we're going to have the public into the main area. You're not going to be allowed to, get in the bleachers or anything,
right,
because that's for participants.
Right.
But it basically will allow you to see what's going on, how it's done. You'll be able to see some of the artist blacksmiths, some of the old guys forging some big pieces. And then we'll have a gallery, and the gallery will have some unbelievable art in it. We've got a couple of pieces, really, that we've just finished. One that George Bouquet did the glass on it at Mad River Glass.
His work is amazing.
Yeah, George is just amazing. And we got Monica Coyne to do the bottom half of it, which is all wrought iron and mild steel. And this thing alone is just a beautiful, beautiful piece that we've spent 2.5 years on. So that's kind of the thing we're doing now. We're trying to do more and more of bringing young artists into the fold and allowing them to do what they need to do or what they want to do, what's in their head, and then we try to bring it to the market.
It's very gratifying making something with your hands.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. That's why I still do it 7 days a week. And it's why you still do it.
Yeah.
We've both been at this a long time.
We enjoy what we do.
Yeah.
That's fun. You get to clang things and make sparks.
Yep.
I push buttons and play music.
Yeah. I get to do everything your mom says you can't do.
You can play with fire.
I get to play with fire.
Yeah.
I get to make all the noise I want.
Yeah.
I get to get dirty. I get to hit things with a hammer and just beat the hell out of them. I get to throw things in the water and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's everything mom said, don't do that.
See, there's some appeal there right there.
Yeah.
Joe, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Cliff. It's been a pleasure, and I really want to thank K-Hum and you for everything you do for us.
Oh, you bet.
It's really been a good relationship.
So come on out to the conference, 28th through the 30th, Humboldt County Fairgrounds, and it's cbaoldguys.com if you want to go to the website and check that out. Joe Coaches, thank you again.
Thank you very much.